Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
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 Okay, could you plug this in?
Ata eva vaktur asya shrisha vishabha devasya char sarvantima lilapi vyajin antardhanam eva. No, we read this, 50, sorry.
Which shall it
now? It should be 51.3. Okay, I was reading two. 51.3.
Tatascha davanalas tadvarna varti darvadi jivanam stulam deham dadaha shrivishabdi of the grass and other living beings present in that forest, while Shrivishabdev burned their subtle bodies. Okay, this just shows how he was helping the fire. Interesting. The fire burned the gross bodies of everybody in the forest, and Rishabhdev burned the subtle bodies. This means we should be aware that his body can give liberation to everyone, in the same way as in the description. Sayai sprishto bidvishtova. Sayai sprishto midvishto va samvishto nudagoto piva koshalas teya yukstanam yatra gachanti yoginaha. The residents of Koshala who touched him, saw him, sat beside him, or followed behind him, went to the destination reached by yogis. Itivat. Tato nala sadharmyam varnayitva tadvad antardhanam eva tasyeti chavyanjitam. And by depicting thus his similarity to fire, it is implied that he disappeared the way fire does. Ata eva vishabha deva virbhavas dvitiyodhyaya ityevoktam natu tajanmeti Shri Vishabhadeva Swa Putran. So it is said. Thus ends the third chapter, describing Rishabhadev's appearance. It doesn't say his birth. So he didn't die. His body was not destroyed. He disappeared, the way fire just disappears. And it's also said that this is his appearance described in the third chapter, not his birth. He doesn't have a material body to take a birth. The verse under discussion was spoken by Sri Rishabhdev to his sons. Now the commentary. Agni, the god of fire, is all-consuming. He devours everything given to him, pure and impure, destroying the impurity without himself becoming contaminated. But material fire can only burn material bodies, whereas the Supreme Lord, and he alone, can burn the subtle bodies of souls entrapped in material life. Every time a person dies, he changes one gross body for another, retaining the same subtle body from one life to the next. Only when his subtle body has been dissolved once and for all has a person gained liberation from the cycle of birth and death. This ultimate freedom from impurity can only be granted by the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Parim vina naiva svitim taranti. Without the sanction of Lord Hari, no one escapes the path of material existence. This is Sridhar Swami. This phrase comes from Sridhar Swami's commentary on chapter 87 of the 10th canto. Without Harim vina naiva svitim taranti. Others like Lord Shiva and his wife are deputized to dispense liberation on the Supreme Lord's behalf. But the gift is actually granted by him. Lord Vishnu directly awards liberation to his devotees when he appears in his incarnations like Rishabhdev and Ramachandra, the deliverer of Kosala. Lord Rishabhdev dramatically exited the stage of this world in a blazing conflagration, in which he showed his own resemblance to fire. Fire, ever present in nature, makes appearances occasionally in more or less spectacular forms. Okay, spelled spectacular wrong. One second. That's spectacular. In spectacular forms, only to quickly expend itself and become extinguished. The Supreme Lord similarly appears within creation at various times, acts in various ways, some amazing and some simple, and then disappears as suddenly as he appeared. Now we move on to the next anuchain, number 52. Tadevam Shrishabhadevasyapi Vigrahe Tadushata Chet Kimuta Swayam Bhagavata Ityaha. So if even the body of Rishabhdev is like this, what to speak then of the body of the original personality of Godhead? That it's eternal, doesn't take any real birth, or it doesn't die, just sometimes appears and sometimes disappears in this world. Now that's stated. Munigana Nripavarya Samgulenta Sadasi Yudhishthira Rajasuya Esha Arhanam Upapeda Ikshaniyo Mama Drishi Gotara Esha Avir Atma. Without looking, who said that? It's the second to last statement he made before he left his body. Okay, and at the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira, there was the greatest assembly of all the elite men of the world, the royal and learned orders. And in that great assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was worshipped by one and all as the most exalted personality of Godhead. This most worthy object of sight, the Supreme Soul is present before my eyes. The commentary on this verse says, the soul of the worlds is visibly manifest as present to my eyes, the object of my vision. In other words, just see how fortunate I am. This verse was spoken by Sri Bhishma to the personality of Godhead. Okay, that's the anuchain. There's a short commentary. The finite beings are many, each one a separate individual. God, however, is one, even though he appears in many forms. Some of his appearances display less of his qualities than others, but they all are complete with the full assets of the Supreme. As Rishabhdev, the Supreme Lord, through the influence of his transcendental presence, delivers many souls from material ignorance, and as Ramachandra, he delivers many more and enchants countless souls with his beauty, magnanimity, and righteousness. But in his original form as Krishna, he is the most attractive. He gives his devotees not only liberation, but also something much more valuable, the pure love for himself, which only his special beauty and charm evoke.
By the mattress, there's a bottle of medicine, and in the cap there are two pills, red pills. Could you bring those pills? Yeah, but inside the room.
Okay, I read the commentary. Okay. The Supreme Lord in all his appearances is attractive, and he, by his attraction, he delivers living entities from ignorance. There are different degrees of attraction because the Lord is revealing himself more or less fully. Vishabhdev is one of the minor avatars of the Supreme Lord. In the Lagu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami is in the opinion that he is Vishnu Tattva. But he's partial, he reveals himself only partially. Still, even in that form, he delivers many souls. But in superior forms like Lord Ramachandra, he delivers many more.
That's it, thank you.
Okay, any questions on those two paragraphs that we read? Yeah. Tadvishta, yeah, being like
okay.
That.
Being like what?
By the way, well, you're asking what? That is what? Oh, well, we're talking about, I made an attempt to explain that at the very beginning, that his body doesn't actually take birth or die. It appears and disappears. Because it's eternal, it's spiritual. So that's being like that, if I'm right. Because that's what was discussed in 50, you know, the previous understanding, 51. Is that okay?
Yeah, and how particularly does this verse about Krishna compare to the sacrifice establish this?
Oh, okay, that's a question. Well, talking about Krishna's being attractive.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, the point is, the immediately previous point is that Vishabhdev helped the fire deliver, burn down the forest. The fire destroyed the gross bodies, and we infer that Vishabhdev burned the subtle bodies. So we're talking about his ability to deliver the living entities by giving them liberation. But we're making the point here that Krishna, because he's supremely attractive, he does even more delivering, a lot more. Krishna's giving out liberation and even prema much more efficiently than any other avatar.
And Krishna's so attractive is that
He's upset.
And Krishna is supremely attractive.
Well, he's supremely attractive means that he's supremely, he delivers. He's a bigger savior than others.
Yeah, but how does verse about what you see
that here? Oh, because he attracted, he became the, the cynosure of all eyes, and the Rajasiya sacrifice. Everybody decided to worship him.
Yeah.
he was chosen to receive the Agra Puja, the first worship, because it was decided by consensus that he's the best person, supreme, and he attracted everybody. He became the center of everybody's attention.
So he others should have rather flow to.
Well, we're really talking. We're taking the idea of being the deliverer and inferring from how is the Lord the deliverer, but and how does he melt subtle bodies by his attractiveness? Although Jiva Goswami doesn't say that explicitly. But let's see. Maybe that's reading too much into it, because Jiva Goswami himself doesn't say it in so many words. Well, yes, in 51.3, we're talking about Ramachandra's. Those who touched him or saw him, you know, or just followed him, all those residents of Kosala got liberation by being attracted to him. So that is discussed in reference to Ramachandra in the previous paragraph. You know, first it's mentioned in the beginning of that 51.3 that what Rishabhdev was doing in connection with the fire was burning the subtle bodies. And then we move on to describing how Ramachandra attracted everybody and liberated them. That shows how the Lord delivers by being attractive. So that's the Tadra Shatta. Okay, starting at home.
Being seen before the Lord, Shukadeva was present. He built the fire to deliver all living before the host of the fire. But then he when the formation was built, how he appeared. Since the Shukadeva was some, he makes an analogy about fire, that his appearance was the fire.
Well, he's like the co-worker of fire.
Yeah. I remember one analogy also in the level that the friction of bamboo trees creates fire. Then, because of this fire burns the same bamboo trees which are the cause of this fire. So then, there is a collapse. So maybe in the same way, when the Shukadeva was present, and then he was acting like a fire, and then when the fire disappeared, he also
Okay, but he disappeared, but he's not destroyed. Yeah. The fire destroys the fuel, but the body of the Supreme Lord can't be destroyed. Not his real body. Maybe his imitation, it leaves us behind an apparent external body that does get destroyed. You know what I mean? Maybe he pretended to have a material body, that material body was lying there, you know, burnt to ashes. But that's just a pretense. So the difference is, the analogy is there. The difference is that the bamboos that are the fuel for the fire actually get destroyed. But the spiritual body of the Supreme Lord doesn't get destroyed. It just removes itself from our vision. Well, yeah. But what's similar between the Lord's appearance and disappearance, it's like fire, it just comes and goes. Fire remains present in a dormant form even after it disappears. It's not destroyed. Element fire remains dormant in the fuel, in the wood. Even after the fire is extinguished, it still is present, but in dormant form, in invisible form. Yes. Okay. Yes. Thank you. Okay. Anything else on 52? Okay, we'll try 53. Tataiva cha Rupam yatadityadau. Satvam sakshad vishnur adhyatma deepam iti. In the same way, in the verse beginning Rupam Yattad, it is said, you are Lord Vishnu appearing in person, the lamp of transcendental knowledge. What is that? Let's see. Rupam Yattad, what is that?
10.3.34.
Where were the 10.3.34? That is spoken by whom? I'm sorry, is it demigods, Krishna in the womb? That's two. Three is Krishna's birth. So three is probably spoken by Vasudeva. Okay, let's see. Devaki speaks it, okay. And then the words are Satvam Sakshad Vishnur Adhyatma Deepa. You are Vishnu himself. You are Lord Vishnu appearing in person, the lamp of transcendental knowledge. What's the significance of that? Well, okay, let's see. It's explained here. Yatad kimapi rupam vastu prahur veda. That certain form, real entity, which the Vedas describe. What is that object? Tatraha kim tad vastu. Tatraha avyaktam ityadi. What is that object? This question is answered by the words beginning avyaktam, meaning evam bhutam kimapi karya kalpam vastu yat sa evam sakshad akshi gocharas tvam vishnur. It is a certain entity capable of effective action which the qualities here described directly manifest, visible to our eyes. With the qualities here described directly manifest or visible to our eyes as you, Vishnu. Let's look at the actual verse, the whole verse here. In the commentary, it said, I'm jumping to the commentary so we can read the whole verse, because we're talking about a few words out of the verse. Let's read the whole verse, spoken by Devaki. When Krishna advented in the prison of Kamsa, in the middle of the night, it's very hard to get this noise. You shouldn't be doing it during the classes. Anyway, we'll fix this. When Krishna advented in the prison of Kamsa, in the that's okay. Just leave it. When Arjuna Sevaka comes, I'll ask him to take care of it. When Krishna advented in the prison of Kamsa, in the middle of the night, Vasudeva and then Devaki greeted him with prayers. This is the first verse of Devaki's prayer. Rupam yattat prahur avyaktam adyam brahma jyotir nirgunam nirvikaram satamatram nirvishesham niriham satvam sakshad vishnur adhyatma deepa. That form which is called the unmanifest, original light of the absolute truth, without qualities and transformations, pure existence, undistinguished, unmoving, that is you, Lord Vishnu appearing in person, the lamp of transcendental knowledge. The next three verses of this prayer have already been discussed back in Anuccheda 28. Well, let's see. What's the relevance of this verse? Well, she's talking about how Krishna is appearing as the form of the Absolute Truth. We were making the point, I think, a little bit previously, that the body of God is the Absolute Truth. And so she's making that identification here. The Absolute Truth, which is as described in the Upanishads as being pure existence, the supreme light that gives life to the soul, without any material qualities, without any material activities, that Absolute Truth manifests as your personal body. And that's what I'm seeing now in front of me and offering my prayers to. Okay, that's what Devaki is saying. Let's go back and see what else Jiva Goswami has to say. Second part of this paragraph. Tatacha Padme Nirmana Kunde Sri Bhagavantam Sri Veda Vyasa Vakya. Similarly, in the Nirmana Kanda of the Padma Purana, there are the words spoken by Sri Vedavyas to the personality of Godhead. This is spoken by Vyasadeva. The Sri Bhagavan, I don't know which form. Twamaham drashtum ichchami chakshur bhyam madhusudana yat tat satyam param brahma jagadyonim jagatpatim. Similarly, in the Nirmana, okay, there are the words spoken by Sri Vedavyas to the personality of Godhead. I wish to see you with my own eyes. Again, talking about actually having in front of him the form of the Lord. O Madhusudana, I wish to see the Supreme Truth Brahman, whom the most advanced part of the Vedas describe as the origin of the worlds and their Lord. O Master, may that form be visible to me. So he's asking to see it, but he's asserting that body of Lord Vishnu is the original Supreme Absolute Truth Brahman. And continuing in the commentary, the Supreme Lord's body can be identified with Brahman, but that does not mean it is impersonal, rather that it transcends everything material. Far from being devoid of qualities, the body of the Supreme Lord. Okay. Try Sri Sanatana Goswami. But that does not mean it is impersonal, rather than that body transcends everything material. Far from being devoid of qualities, the body of the Supreme Lord exhibits all sublime excellences. Thus, Devaki called it Rupam, the Lord's personal body, form. And she was justified in this because she saw this form with her own eyes. Now, the Nirmana Kunda is another name of the Patala Kanda of the Padma Purana. In the 73rd chapter of this Kanda, the saintly king Ambarish approached sage Vyasadeva at Bhadrik Ashram to learn how to realize the personal form of the Supreme Lord. Srila Vyasa replied by recounting his own experience. He once performed austerities for several thousand years, finally receiving the reward of a visit from Lord Vishnu, who asked Vyas for what purpose he had taken such trouble. Vyasadeva answered with the words cited here in this paragraph. Well, okay, so he didn't mean, he was asking to see Lord Vishnu, but he was asking Lord Vishnu right there in person. Okay. Any questions? All right, let's try another paragraph. The last paragraph of the Sutta Chain. Tatra Hetu, Adhyatma Deepa. Okay, what's this light of transcendence or whatever? How was it translated? The light, the lamp of transcendental knowledge. Adhyatma Deepa, Dehi Tat Karana Karya Sangha Prakashakatvena Avabhasamana Ityartaha Evam Bhutasya Natava Bayashangeti Bhavaha Ityesh. Okay. The reason for this is indicated. The reason for what? Okay. The reason for... Good question. Tatra Hetu. Not clear. What is the reason for what? Anyway, let's see. Let's read it and figure it out. The reason for this is indicated by the words, the lamp of transcendental knowledge. I have to make a note. No. Meaning that it shines forth to reveal the embodied living beings and all causes and effects related to them. That's what lamp of transcendental knowledge means. It shines forth light. It reveals the embodied beings and all the causes and effects that are related to the living being. The living beings are not caused, but there are many things in their conditioned life. Their bodies, the circumstances of their lives, of the conditioned souls, are all caused by various material factors. But the body of the Supreme Lord is the supreme light that reveals all those causes. In other words, okay, here to clarify it further. In other words, for you who are like this, there is no question of fear. For you, the Supreme Lord, there is no question of fear. Ityesha prakaranana rupa Sri Swami darshita bhavartopi Sri Vigraha para eva Anyatra baya sambhavana nupate Sri Devaki Sri Bhagavantam. As suitable for this passage, Sri Sridhar Swami in his Bhavarta commentary also shows the text of referring to the divine body of the Lord, for fear would not be possible on any other account. The verse under discussion, Bhagavatam 10.3.24, was spoken by Sri Devaki to the personality of Godhead. Where are we talking about fear? Where does that come from? Nothing in Devaki's prayer. Where does this idea of fear come from? It's just implied. Because he's a Yadma Deepa, there's no reason for him to be afraid. Oh, let me read the commentary, see how it explains it. Commentary. How could Devaki be sure that the embodied person she saw before her, her newborn son, was in fact the supreme truth the Upanishads reveal? Sometimes mothers are, you know, overrate their children. So how did she know for certain? Yes. Oh, she was afraid of Kamsa. She's afraid that Kamsa would kill Krishna. So she's afraid for Krishna's body. Okay. Okay. How could Devaki know all that? Because as she told Krishna, he is the light that illumines the living soul. Devaki was not as completely covered by Yogamaya as Krishna's other mother, Yashoda. She was very well aware that Krishna was not only her son, but also the Supersoul in every living being's heart, the creator of the universe, and the eternal absolute truth. The Jiva souls are conscious of themselves and the world around them, yet they possess this consciousness only by the grace of its original source, the Supersoul, and they can understand what they perceive and act on it coherently only by His grace. As the Supersoul and absolute controller of all, Krishna never has anything to fear. More generally, fear can be properly felt only for a material body. For the soul within, which can never, not for the soul within, you can't be afraid for the soul because it can never be harmed. Unembodied Brahman has no enemies, while Bhagavan in his transcendental body may have enemies like Kamsa, who mistake his identity and think they can try to destroy him, but they never manage to do him any harm. In her ecstatic love for Krishna, Devaki was afraid of what Kamsa might do to him. And so to pacify her, Krishna concealed his Vishnu form and changed his appearance to that of an ordinary child. The objective reality dictates that Devaki had no proper reason for fear, but in her transcendental mood of love, her Vatsalya Rasa, her fear was real. You may say she didn't have any fear, but she's feeling transcendental fear, and that's more real than your material fear. That's reality, are the spiritual emotions. The material emotions aren't real. And to present that ecstatic fear, and to promote that ecstatic fear, it was necessary that Krishna had his body, which was a target for Kamsa and other foolish demons to try to attack. If Krishna had taken birth as unembodied Brahman in the prison of Kamsa, there'd be nothing to be afraid of. What can Kamsa do to Brahman? Yes, you know, the form of the Supreme. But because Krishna has a form, apparently he's vulnerable, and therefore Devaki can feel afraid. Okay, now I want to go back and ask that question again. The reason for this, the reason for what? How could she be sure? Okay. How could she know that he's the absolute truth? Let me make a note of that. Just had to make a note of it. Okay, any questions? This is the end of the Anuchet and the end of the file. Anything? Sorry again?
Yes.
Why the world is to this time has been used. Similarly, we are also astounded about thinking of whether this movement will be guilty by their source or not continue to advance the world here.
Yes. That explains it, yes. Okay. Anything else? Yes, Jennifer?
find in the commentary that
could I find?
Yeah.
Oh, I just closed the file. Go to the bottom. Let's see. Well, I'm just looking at the first sentence. How could Devaki be sure that the embodied person she saw before him was the Supreme Truth the Upanishads revealed? So the reason for that is that he's a Dhyatmadipa. His body is a Dhyatmadipa. It is the Brahmajyoti, or the divine light. Yasya bhatsa sarvam idam vibhanti is what the Upanishads say. By his light, everything else has its illumination. Okay. So, if there isn't anything else, we'll stop for now. Okay, continue in file 17. Thank you all. Glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Bhagavat Sundarbha Ki Jai.